say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Eye of Newt.
Check.
Three bat wings.
Check.
Tears of a gypsy. 1/4 cup.
Check.
Bacon grease blessed by a Poughkeepsie hobo.
Check.
Cheese muffins.
What? No. The recipe doesn't call for cheese muffins.
I didn't put in cheese muffins. Cheese muffins.
Then why did you say it?
Seriously?
Oh yeah. Dumb question.
What the hell are you guys doing? What is that smell?
Cooking.
Yeah, I can see that. Why?
John is gone this week, so we wanted to help. You are talking about a witch, so we are making a spell for you.
You're welcome.
See, about you know you're not allowed to cook. And what the hell is it supposed to do?
Make the house smell like shit.
Well, it's working because it fucking stinks in here.
Ta-da.
I hate you both so much.
Thanks.
Anyway, this is Hysteria 51, and I'm your host, Brent Hand. John Goforth is out this week, so I am stuck with Tweedledee and Tweedledip shit here that you just met in the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, but thankfully, I am not stuck with just these robot asshats. I have a guest, and a returning one at that this week. He hosts Blurry Photos. He hosts Quiz Quiz Bang Bang. He used to caddy for John Stamos. Welcome back to the show, the one and only David Flora.
Hello.
Did you hear that crowd clapping for you?
You got a skin job ass hat now.
You usually got to pay double for that kind of action, so I'm excited.
Also, John Stamos, as nice as he looks. As nice as he looks in real life.
That is good to know.
You know, the most interesting part of John Stamos, that commercial where he's got the yarn, he really can do that flip with the crochet hook. Or whatever it is.
You know what they call that? A needle. Triple threat. That is a triple threat right there.
Hair, needle, and looks.
Cheese muffins.
Man, so what's going on? You're hosting multiple shows. God saw you and laughed at you as you're trying to do a documentary and he threw a pandemic on the world.
That son of a bitch owes me. Yeah, man. Doing two shows. I just started into the wonderful world of audiobook narration. I got an audiobook out called Living Among Bigfoot.
I got it. I'm going to give you a review as soon as I finish it, but I download it and I have to listen to it before I do the review, which is probably the way it's supposed to go. I think that's the way it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
fair order. Tough, but fair, I would say. Tough, but fair. So yeah, everybody check that out. I'm working on the second edition now. I need to edit all that, but other than that, the documentary is on hiatus. We're waiting for the parks to open back up, basically, because you know, we can go out there and get shots of, you know, the landscape and stuff, which we should be doing, but I don't need to go all the way across the country for that. I need to do is go out there when there's people to talk to, places that we can go for resources, and right now that's off the table, so kind of on the back burner.
Kind of, if that's the worst thing that's happening, you know, you're doing okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still on the table, still going to happen. The world
Absolutely.
Just kind of got thrown into a little bit of upheaval, you know, and that's one...
Upheaval Knievel,
yeah,
really.
Well, that's the way it goes.
Lots of broken bones. Probably flaming circles.
You've also, for, you know, everyone knows you from Blurry Photos, but I don't know if everyone here knows that you and your wife do Quiz Quiz Bang Bang.
Yeah, we do. It's a pub quiz practice show that hits you, pow, right in the quizzer. I'm very well trained. It's it's just basically questions and answers that my wife research and present just for, you know, people who want to, I guess, now go online and do trivia nights when there's bars open, you know, you go out and do a pub quiz. But once a month, we'll have a group on to play competitively head to head. So that's a lot of fun, of which you have been a guest.
Right. I sure have. And I lost in
heartbreaking
fashion. Yeah.
Heartbreaking fashion.
I tell you what, man, if you ever want to see my wife, just riddled with anxiety and flop sweats. You tell her we're going to do quiz night at a bar. She gets so nervous, like she's waiting for the fucking...
I don't know, to find out
if she's like the going to the death chamber or not, you know, the chair.
My gosh. Why is it just she's afraid?
I don't know. And I'll be like, lose? This is fun. Let's go play, you know, let's go do trivia. I'm not going to know anything. And she's fine at it. It's just so funny. So then, you know, a lot of times even when I don't want to do it, I'll just offer to go do that just so I can see her squirm a little bit.
I'll do that next time I'm over there.
Yeah. Hey, you guys want to do some trivia? And she loves, you know, usually she's into that stuff and she's not bad at it at all. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. Booze and her peers judging her, you know, on her knowledge of 1800s authors really just sets her off.
You are brave, Brent.
You telling me you don't know every day's holiday, what national day it is right now?
That's right.
Judged.
Yeah. Well, have you ever? Never.
How very dare you, madam?
Everyone in there somehow has your waxed mustache. They're twirling it.
They pass it back and forth.
Yes, they do.
There's just one to go around. It's like that eye in Clash of the Titans.
That's right. Oh, man. But we aren't dealing with Titans or mustaches this week, unfortunately. I don't know. I bet there were some sweet mustaches in this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, I guess you can say we're dealing with witches, because it is the Bell Witch, but it's more like a poltergeist or a ghost or a lie. You know, one of those things.
Right. Hashtag redundant.
Right. And, you know, interesting, and I actually, speaking to my wife, I was talking to her about this, and I said the name, and she said the exact same thing that I said. I knew the name long before I knew what the story was. Uh-huh. I'd heard of the Bell Witch. Had you, or was this
same? No,
like,
oh, absolutely yeah. The same. I started hearing about the name of it before I looked into it. And when I looked into it, oh boy, what a trip. I love this story.
Well, and you're originally from the South, and you're not from Tennessee where this happened, but you're from Kentucky, which is Tennessee light. So, I mean, you're real close.
Basically correct, yeah.
West Tennessee, North Tennessee.
The Tennessee top hat.
Yeah, that's right. Which also will get you in trouble if you do it in a public place, but please
don't do that down the streets of Lexington or Louisville.
But you can do it in Tijuana for $13, the Tennessee top hat. But hey, that's a side story.
Best weird amount of money I've ever spent.
That's true. But literally, though, knowing these things, like you said, it goes to show how ingrained a lot of these stories are in pulp culture or Americana. And I think this one kind of goes into the Americana thing, because people think about this with like that area and things like that. And they use it as a way to identify themselves. Oh, that's, you know, our area.
And a lot of religion, too.
Right. You know, and I say Americana, we're back in America this week because we were in Canada. Last week we were doing Shag Harbor, and this week we're talking hauntings. We haven't done one of these in a little while, and John is out for the next couple of weeks, so I got David on this week.
You got Tennessee light.
Yeah. And I said, hey, let's do a paranormal one, because we haven't done one, and what do you want? And this is the one that you threw at me. You're like, let's do Bell
I did,
Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had done it before. What was the draw? What was, you're just like, oh man, this was a fun one, or this one's stupid and I want to fuck with your show, or what was
it? This absolutely a fun one. I was kind of surprised. Hey, congrats on 200, by the way. That's great.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I was surprised you all hadn't covered it yet. So I was like, I just gave it a shot and was like, what do you think of Bell Witch? Also, I have all these notes ready to go. So
right. And it's an interesting one. You know, it's a legend, or it's folklore, or it's a true story that's been passed down, or it's a bunch of BS. And depending on who you talk to, it depends on which version that you're going to hear.
History is fun.
Either way, we're telling you the story this week, so buckle up, I think, is, you know, because it's a doozy, or it's a fun one, not fun, I guess, if depending on which family member you were.
Either way you go, I mean, being on the outside looking in, it's a hell of a ride. It's great.
Also, because, like I said, a lot of you might know this, you might not know, but I think we should note that, like a lot of stories, especially ones that fall into this legend or folklore, there are different accounts or details to this. And so we'll be telling a version, and Just know some people have different takes or what they've heard or what happened, but this is one that comes from David and us. So piss on everyone else. Ours is right. At least that's what David told me to say.
Your $13 is in the mail.
FNA.
Right? So, David, before we get heavy into it, elevator pitch me. Tell me, you know, what's the short and sweet Bell Witch story?
So there was this kind of spirit in Tennessee, Adams, Tennessee is where it took place. And they called it the Bell Witch. It's supposed to be the spirit of a woman named Kate Batts. She was one of these just complete battle axes that was an old neighbor of John Bell. My dad used to cycle through a bunch of these when we were out driving. Like if somebody would cut him off or something, he'd be like, "You old battle axe," or
"You old
look at that
soul.
Old bat."
That's such a dirty dog.
That was when he was nice. Yeah. But she was a neighbor of John Bell, and basically she believed he cheated her in a land purchase, right? And that's a big deal.
Well, I better fuck his entire family for generations.
On her deathbed, she swore that she would haunt John Bell and his descendants. And boy, you can tell what happens next. Hilarity.
Nice. So they had that going for them.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nice to know that you'll never be truly alone, you know? And curses, sometimes they you know, they can really help you out in that way.
John Bell looks a lot like Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
The family, though, and the big thing about this story is they kind of come under attack in different ways. And most of the stories, and like I said, there are a lot of them, but she would speak to them or sing to them or whisper to them. She would affect the physical environment. She could shapeshift. She was clairvoyant. And this is an interesting one I thought was funny as I'm looking through it. She was either able to cross long distances with superhuman speed or capable of being in more than one place at a time. It's kind of a choose your own adventure on that one. And the way they would do that, and we'll get into this, is she would be like, they would have went to like two different churches and she would recite both of the witch.
The sermons.
Both of the sermons to them. They're like, how? And some people are like, easy, she's really fast. And the others are like, no, you idiot. She was in two places at once. And then their families, you know, went to war with one another over that because it was a different time. I love stories like this, though, you know, and we're going to dissect them. I love stories like this because they're truly, like I said, become part of the culture of where it's at. The stories take on a life of their own and are handed down through generations. And this one involves the whole community and neighbors and a major general who becomes a president. And you know, do you think the draw, especially in the past, to things like this is because that's the way that they entertain themselves, or what was it? Because they had no TV or radio. Many couldn't read at all. So it's not like they were getting this out of books or putting in the books, you know, and even if they did bad lighting at night, you got candles and shit, you can't really read. And life back in the day was hard work, man. It was bonkers and shit. Is that what does it, or why do these get such legs back then?
Oh, I'm sure there's an element of that, because when you've got nothing to do but sit around and tell stories to each other, and even today we love ghost stories. We love being scared a little bit, and there's something about that where it's. It seems a little dangerous, but it's still safe because it's still just a story, or is it?
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure like that that storytelling sitting around at night and stuff, and it was probably frowned upon, you know, especially by maybe religious families or families that are prim and proper. Like that's low form of entertainment. Don't y'all go around telling ghost stories to each other. That's common, you know. But yeah,
go and entertain yourself by, I don't know, like whittling.
Here's a stick and a hoop. I don't know, was that even invented yet?
Skip them down at the. We can skip them off the water. I don't.
I'm gonna go down and watch the post office get built.
That's why every family had 36 children, man. There was nothing to do.
Also, and
oddly enough,
averages.
One room in the entire house. Ma and Pa sure are loud tonight.
Well, people used to sleep in the same bed, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory style, you know? That's the thing I don't get.
Yeah, I don't like to think about what went on in that bed. But if you watch Saturday Night Live, they did a whole sketch of it where one of the other couples starts having sex. Like, oh God, no! It's actually pretty. It's a recent sketch. It's actually pretty funny. Oh, you're gonna hear some noises. So gang, who are the Bells? What did this supposed witch or ghost or whatever you want to call her do? Could it be true? Why is David's facial hair so much nicer than mine? That's all coming up after this break on Hysteria 51. Man, some things aren't fair, David. That's all I'm getting at. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
I got to use the bell. It's the Bell family. I got to use the bell.
Oh, my gosh. Apropos. Oh,
man. So, yeah, the Bell family. And John Bell Sr., that's the man here, and this is the man that brought all this supposedly onto his his family.
John Bell Jovi.
Johnny used to work in the cotton fields, working for his dad. I don't know.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
But he was a farmer from highfalutin North Carolina
before
he moved to Robertson County, Tennessee in 1804.
See, he was trying to get to Missouri, but he was halfway there.
That's where the yoke broke and the oxen gave out. And he's like, well,
whoa. He's halfway there. And he's very religious. So he literally.
They had 320 acres along the Red River. I think you said near the town of Adams, Tennessee. 320 acres. That's a pretty good lot of land.
Damn.
Yeah. And like all good ghost stories, it starts out with them carving out this nice, quiet, peaceful life, happy for 13 years of nothing but normalcy. And they were members of the Red River Baptist Church, as you did back then. John was a deacon there. and life was good. And they, some even say they were kind of a prosperous family.
Yeah.
Until it wasn't. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. I just realized that's a, well, we'll get to this later, but that's a coven of years. Mm-hmm. That is 13. A straight up coven.
Yeah. How about that? That just so happened. It was great for 13, and then shit really hit the, we haven't invented them yet, but fan. shit really hit the open window for Breeze.
Yeah, shit really hit the kid that stood there with a feather.
Faster, Timothy, faster.
Oh, you got it all over me.
But this is, so they got there in 1804. And late in the summer of 1817 is when all this started to happen. And we said the shit kind of hit the fan, but what kind of shit hit the fan? Well, members of the Bell Clan began seeing weird-looking animals around the property. Now, that's the tip-off. David, what kind of animals were they seeing? Do you got any favorites?
There was like a cat-looking thing at one point. I think there was some weird dog that maybe had the head of a rabbit.
He was out in the field and he saw a dog, and as he got closer, realized it had a rabbit's head, and he shot at it several times and it ran away.
That checks out.
Now, <you do. laughs> what? Come on, man. It's a rabbit. It's just a rabbit.
It's a R-O-U-S, rabbits of unusual size.
At that point, if you think you see a dog and it turns out to have a rabbit's head, I'm pretty sure you saw a rabbit, buddy.
Right, right. I'm
What's
no,
the difference?
I'm no veterinarian, I can't really say for myself or whatever they called them. I bloodlet pigs, back in the day, and that's whatever they were.
I didn't go to venereal school, but I can tell you this.
Interesting. This kind of reminds me, this part of the story with the whole weird animals, kind of like the Skinwalker Ranch, how they saw the dogs and they saw the giant wolf and it came and they shot it and chunks flew off and it didn't die. And what a weird, weird start to the story. But unfortunately for them, but fortunately for us with this story, it doesn't stop at weird animals, though that is a fun start to the story. Then late at night, because that's when all the fun shenanigans start, they hear knocking sounds on the doors inside the house and then on the walls outside the house. And enough that they actually sent, they had several children. They would send the children out to see what was going on. Like, is someone outside? Like, no, pa, no, ma, I don't see nothing.
Like that scene in Signs?
Yeah. Hey, what is it? Go outside and check.
They run around and he's like, heck, fire, darn it, get out of my daggone yard.
Or in the Scary Movie joke of that one where they got the crop circle that says attack here with the arrow pointing at the house. Then, though, the sounds, they start in the house and rats, they said they started hearing these sounds that sounded like rats were gnawing on the bedposts at night while they're trying to sleep. They look down, no rats. Then chains being dragged through the house. Then they said they started hearing stuff being dropped. It sounded like on wooden floors, like stones or large objects bang on the wooden floors. All these things, they go, they check on them. They can't find anything. And then the always pleasant, they start hearing gulping and choking sounds.
Yeah.
It's like an ASMR dream come true.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I put anyone to sleep there, you're welcome. ASMR. Anyway.
Put to sleep or turned on?
Yeah, oh, why not both? I
why not both?
So then, and this is the where I start to say, fuck this shit, because their sheets and blankets would be pulled off them as they slept and their pillows would be thrown on the floor. And I call bullshit because we all know that ghosts can't get you if you're under your blanket. That's just the way it works.
That's the hard and fast rule, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the ghosts are in charge of the ghost government now, and they're just ignoring the rules. Who knows?
I mean,
they know they can get away with it.
There's very few things in life that are constants. Ghosts can't get under there. Germs and bacteria got to count to five before they get your food when it falls on the floor. Mm-hmm. And if that shit starts going astray, I'm just...
It's anarchy. It's chaos. It's entropy.
Dogs and cats living together.
That's why, like, if your foot is hanging out from under the covers off the bed, fair game.
Tickle,
you know,
tickle,
that's
tickle.
On you. That's on you. You know, what's funny is that the whole trope of pulling sheets and blankets off of beds when people are sleeping, that appears in many, many poltergeist stories.
Right, right. And the other thing that many, many poltergeist stories that we're going to talk about is a lot of these things were centered around one of the daughters.
Yeah.
And that is another thing that in every once in a while, it's a son, but usually it's always a daughter that is having these things or the brunt of the bad stuff happen to them or around them.
Yeah. And they're generally around 10 to like 13 years of age too, which is weird.
It's a weird age for girls, you know, it's a weird age.
A coven's age.
That's true. And then, David, the whispers started.
God, I really want to talk about it.
I don't know if this is going to pick any of that up, but...
Mr. Cotter. What? So they described them at first as being very faint, almost inaudible voices with a vague semblance to an old woman singing hymns, which is always what you want to hear when you're trying to sleep at night. But over time, it grew louder and stronger.
Just like her faith.
I'm getting right with the Lord. That's the way it goes. Then, like I said, it starts in for a daughter, you know, one of the girls. It's always going to be the youngest daughter, John's youngest. Elizabeth, or Betsy, as they called her, because reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, you know, Betsy's
she,
not that.
She wet the bed a lot.
Hey, Betsy. She's the one, old Elizabeth Betsy. She got the brunt of the bad stuff. And for her, things became physical. She said that her hair would get pulled. She would be pinched. Fucking pins were found in her pillow.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of fucked up. And of course, she'd be slapped and what looked like handprints would be left on her body. You see that a lot, these weird scratches and things like that when you're dealing with poltergeist. And a lot of them say because that's what they can do. And then a lot of other people come back and say that's because it's easy for kids to fake things like that.
Very true. I'm trying to remember, like, if there are any stories where this happens in real time and is observed. You know, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I'm not I didn't go to poltergeist venereal school. So
speaking of real time, and this is another thing that we'll talk about. So interestingly is the real time or the people that did experience these things outside of just family. But anyway, we'll get to that in just a second. And like on all these stories, the family's terrified. This shit's happening. So they keep it to themselves.
Yep.
For like a fucking year. They're just like, nope, it's not happening.
Head down.
Everyone, be quiet. Just breathe. Breathe. Don't cover your... If they're going to steal your blanket, Elizabeth, don't wear a fucking blanket. How's that sound? Jesus, I'm sick of your shit.
Now you're playing their game.
Yeah. You can't pull my hair if I shave my head.
Yikes. What's plan B on that one?
Yeah, well... Shit, I've been outsmarted. But they kept this to themselves, they said, for like a fucking year, just like dealing with it. Finally, though, enough is enough. And Papa John, as I like to think they all called him, or at least he called himself.
He's just very sweaty.
Yes, just very sweaty. Papa, where are you going for my 43rd pizza this week? I'll be right back. He goes over to talk to his neighbor by the name of James Johnson, which is not a made-up name, I promise. That was the actual name that they used. And interestingly, though, so John Sr., John Bell Sr., goes, talks to Johnson, and he says, why don't you and your wife come spend the night at my house? No.
Oh, yeah.
No, anyway, no. They stay the night, and they say that just in that night, they witness things happen. James had his bed cover yanked away and was slapped numerous times before he jumped up and yelled, "In the name of the Lord, who are you and what do you want?" Now, guess what? No reply. None whatsoever. So Mr. Johnson tells him to tell people what's going on. You need to go. You need to go tell people, because if this is, it seems like it's a spirit from the Bible, is what he said. And they think that he thinks they need help, and telling people might help. So at least they think we're not crazy, but we're still haunted. So.
Yeah.
Shit. And I mean, do you tell people or do you not? If you were really going through this, what's your go-to?
Yeah, I would. I think I would tell people. I would hope that I have clout that people would trust me.
Right.
You know, for saying
please
something like this would be happening.
Please believe me. Like, oh God, here comes that Flora bastard. Please believe. Look at my scratches. I got slap marks, you motherfucker.
This isn't like that time I told you Cerberus was outside my door.
It was three dogs and they were close. I'm easily confused. I am not blind.
Somebody tied them together. We need to call ASPCA.
Please believe me.
I've got my shirt half undone.
just sweating.
I've got and two smoking. Different shoes on.
Yeah. I haven't slept in a very long time. So yeah, they're haunted, they're not crazy, and they start to tell people. And when they tell people in this small area, the legend begins to grow around this whole ongoing thing. Kate, or the Bell Witch, it did not disappoint. She would almost perform for people when they came to see her, and people did come.
Yeah.
And David, there is another part of the story that either is or isn't part of this, but it's one that area really has glommed onto because it is part of the at least physical parts you can see. Tell us about the cave incident that people attribute to the Bell Witch.
Yeah, there is a cave apparently in somewhere on this 320-acre property. Shock of shocks. But there's apparently a group of young boys. They were friends of Betsy, and they were out, you know, traipsing about being boys, and then they find this cave. And of course, they go inside, kind of look around, see what's going on. And one of them pretended he was Gimli, and he dug a little too deep in the cave, and he got separated. Mm-hmm. Classic.
Who hasn't been lost spelunking? I mean,
right,
it's a tale as old as time. And if I'm not spelunking, I'm hanging out with bounty hunters. It's one or the other. It's everyone has their stories.
So,
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I mean, either or, right? here's a little stretch, but apparently he had a candle on him, and he lit
it. This was an 80s movie. He would have had four candles and one stick of dynamite. And he's fumbling, trying to figure out which one is which.
So he yells for the friends, the ones he got separated from, to come and to kind of get him out of this cranny that he basically.
Hey, come here!
I got stuck in a cranny. and then, like, I guess they either the candle was just his earwax on a stick. Or the friends didn't hear him and didn't come get him because the candle burned out. And then he just basically shat himself because a loud female voice suddenly cried, "I'll get you!" And then he had his legs tugged, pulling him backwards through that cave, but pulled him to the entrance.
Yeah, like, this is a poltergeist of many colors. You know, like, I want to fuck over this family. You're a nice little boy. Like, you're spelunking. You know, why am I going to fuck with you?
So I like that it wasn't an actual, like, threat, "I'll get you." It was like, "I'll get you out of there."
Right.
Don't worry, you tasty little morsel. I'll get
it's
you.
It's just so funny, though, that, like, that, he, you know, he says this. And now if you go to the area, they're like, you want to see the Bellwitch Cave? Like, yeah, it's such a weird tack on to the story.
And that is, it's open for business, right? Like, people go there and tour it.
If you go down south, especially, you know,
and I anywhere, do
Missouri, the Smoky Mountains, anywhere, you can explore caves ad nauseum.
Oh my God. Mammoth Caves is in Kentucky, the biggest cave system in the world.
Yeah. Yep.
It's amazing. Been there
a
couple times.
It's crazy. I like when you go in and then they turn the lights off and it's actual pitch blackness.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been in any of those. And like, you can't see your hand an inch in front of you.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So yeah. Caves, man. And they're like, and what was it they all used for? Well, eventually moonshine. But before that, well, poltergeist activity.
Gremlins to get from here to there.
Right. And there's so many takes on this story. We could spend multiple episodes just telling little bits of so-and-so saw this and so-and-so saw that. The definitive report, I guess, if you want to call it. An Authenticated History of the Famous Bell Witch is by Martin V. Ingram, and that's who kind of made this story kind of fleshed out, I guess is the best way to put it, and kind of pulled it to the nationwide attention. But it was very much a story down there. But like I said, there's so many takes, even from Major General turned President Andrew Jackson. He came to visit because, you know, he said he knew John Bell Sr. from being in the military. And he left scared. He went there and shit happened. He's like, geez, it, whoop, 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 and he got out of there.
It's true.
The other thing is, we talked about how he helped that boy and how he just hated she, the Bell Witch, helped that boy and she hated Betsy. She liked Lucy. That was another daughter. And they say that she sang to her, like, soothing songs. And she liked their son, John Bell Jr., and she would recite sermons to him from different churches. That's where that comes from. One of which was 13 miles apart from the other one. But she said that John...
I mean, come on. What is this? The Dark Tower series? Like, light? How many times is the number 13 really going to pop up today, right? F.
Man, I tell you. She said John Jr. was brave, and she liked that. Or they say she said...
Well, yeah. Yeah. John Jr. says she said.
Memoirs. Yeah, right.
She likes me because I've got a big penis.
She really likes to watch. That's what? Nothing?
Oh. Again, the number 13 comes into play.
The common factor, though, other than, you know, she's terrible to Betsy, Elizabeth, is that supposedly the Bell Witch hated John Bell Sr. And she would threaten in front of the family, supposedly John directly saying that she would kill him through curses and afflictions. And they say John, at one point in time, was weak and tired after just years of physical and mental abuse at the hands of the witch, which, if this was true, that's an understatement, you know, if this is actually happening.
Oh, yeah.
And he eventually developed a nervous condition that affected his tongue and jaw muscles where he couldn't hardly chew or swallow. And then finally, one day, they say that John Sr. was out walking with his son Richard when one of his shoes was jerked off his foot. So Richard grabs a shoe, he leans down, he ties it. As he's tying the shoe on his father's foot, the other one is jerked off and thrown out in the other way.
Hello.
And they said the air was suddenly filled with horrifying sounds, and John, totally overcome and praying for deliverance, was quickly led back inside the house, as one is to do when your shoe's been flicked off your foot. And then he goes to bed, and he stayed there for several weeks, getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And then on the morning of December 20th, 1820, he was dead. They couldn't wake him up. He just, they went to get him, and there he is. And supposedly, John Jr. found a vial of liquid in the cupboard. And he did the rational thing, the thing you always do when you find vials. He gave a gulp. Cat. He gave the family cat a gulp. Yep. And it died immediately.
Wow.
Hell yes.
And then as soon as the cat died, the family heard that all too familiar to them voice say, "I gave old Jack a big dose of that last night, which fixed him." So she finally got her revenge through poisoning. When all else fails, poison.
Damn straight.
Yep.
You heard it here first. That's our, David Flora said that, if anyone's asking.
tell him I sent you.
That is a vengeful fucking ghost. If you really did screw over on a land deal, or you didn't, and then she finally terrorizes you and your family and then poisons you after she's been dead for years.
I mean, if you've got 320 acres, what's a couple of more of less acres to give right. back to a witch, you
yeah,
know?
Right. Yeah. Why is it always the witch that people like, no, fuck that broad. No, man. Like,
no. You know what? Give yeah. her 13 acres. Man, that'll lift her skirt.
Yeah. That's right. And,
make her happy is what I mean. That's not, right. that came out real cringy. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
That'll hey. Tug her boat. What's the saying here, Brent? What am I looking for?
13.
She'll be happy 13. With that. That's what I'm trying to say.
So then, you know, her work's kind of done. So the shit kind of diminishes. It starts going down. And she said, no longer is she going to go by those 13s. She said 7. What's she telling about 7, David?
When she talked to John Bell Jr., she like had some kind of weird friendship with John Bell Jr. Yeah. And she'd talk about the past, the present, and the future. So not only could she be in two places at once or, you know, speed run like the Flash between sermons, she went full listening. She went for full Flashpoint and could see into the past and future. She said there was a reason for John's death, for the father's death, but, you know, never said what the reason was.
I'll never tell.
Yeah.
Never done.
7 years. and then after another visit, she said that she would next return in 107 years.
So she came in 7 years, talked to old John Jr., and then she goes, deuces, I'm out 107 years before I come back.
Yeah, let's tack on a Hildo to that, please. Yeah. And then, you know, people believe that she didn't actually leave the area at all. Because there's a lot of strange crap apparently that has happened.
Cave, man. She summers in Rangoon. She winters in her cave. I mean, this is a happening, active, very interesting ghost.
Yeah, this is a witch on the go.
Yeah, as long as you're on her good side, you're fine. You're fine. Nothing to worry about here. So that's a hell of a fucking story.
Love
ghost
it.
Ghost murder, cat poisoning. They were drinking brandy, I like to think, through the whole thing. I don't know. It's the South.
Not a religious family.
It has it all. Let's go to break real quick. When we come back, is it true? If not, where did it come from? All that and more coming up next on Hysteria 51. Man, I need one of those ghosts to tell me my past, present, and future. Or at least my future.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, unless they can just make me watch the parts I like of my past.
Sure.
Like, this is your life. What was it? There's a movie, Defending Your Life. I don't know if you ever saw that, where you, like, go in and, like, watch your past and past lives and shit like that. It's like, what's the rating on this? How dirty can we make it?
Oh, boy.
Like, we need to go back and watch some things. Because the rest of it, I remember everything I ever said wrong. That's why I can't sleep at night, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
David, that's a hell of a story. Where does a story like this come from? You know, is it true? Is it not true? Is it a folk tale? Is it a legend? I mean, you did this before. You dove deep into it. You tell a story like this because it is one that has permeated through now a couple, you know, couple hundred years. We're over 200 years on it, at least from when they moved there from 1804. What's your thoughts? What happens? How does something like this go viral before that was a thing?
Right. Well, when you look at stuff like this, it's easy to see that things aren't black and white like we would hope for them to be. It's very murky in how it came to be and how it has evolved over the years, just like any folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's got a lot of that Southern ghost story tradition in there. It's got the concept of a poltergeist-like entity, which, you know, was well known to people by then. It, you know, it originated in Europe. And
this is when that was very much in vogue. Ghosts and the occult and things like that was.
It's especially probably took even a stronger hold after the Civil War, because that's when, you know, the spiritualism got really going. And the earliest written record that mentions it, from what I found, came from Green Mountain Freeman of Vermont, which was published February 7th, 1856. And that is supposed to be a republication of a story from the Saturday Evening Post, but we don't have a date for that, and we don't have a story that's been found. So it's possibly older than that, but probably by not much.
Yeah.
And that told about the Tennessee ghost or the Bell ghost, and it really focused on Betsy and one of the sons, Joshua, in there.
There was Joshua, there was John, there was Richard, there was Betsy, there was Lucy.
There was Joshua, there was Judges, there was Ruth, there was 1st and 2nd Corinthians, yeah, there was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians.
We're running out of ideas to name our children. Oh, give me a book. Yeah. Give me the book.
We got about 52 kids we can have before we start needing them.
Revelations, go shovel shit out back. Paul. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. So in 1880, in April of 1880, the Daily American published an article about a haunted house in Springfield, Tennessee. Now, this isn't Adams. This isn't mistaken for Adams.
It's the highfalutin town of Springfield.
That's right. And they said, it's an actual fact that several hundred intelligent people of Springfield and vicinity have been so excited over the noise as to go night after night to listen to it. About 30 years ago, Robertson County had a sensation similar to this, known as the Bell Witch, and people came from all parts of the country, even as far as New York, to hear or see the Bell Witch.
And that's crazy because thank you. They really did say that the people that came there heard her or saw her or experienced it in one way or another.
Yeah, they heard a weird sound whenever somebody said the Bell Witch.
Yeah, it's the damnedest thing. It's weird how that happens.
Now there's a lot more. There are a lot more times when this shows up in print,
and not unlike you were on when we did the Spring Hill Jack episode.
Correct,
and it's not unlike a thing where anything that happens, they go, must have been old Jack. You know, it's easy to throw things onto something just to tack onto that hole.
Yeah, it's like Katamari Damacy or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. It keeps eating up anything it rolls over.
Yep.
But like you had mentioned this before, but the biggest source of this probably that we have today is from Martin Van Buren Ingram, when people like to name their kids after presidents.
Yeah. I said Donald Martin Trump V Flora. Because I like to shorten it.
Marty V. Yeah. Marty VB Ingram.
Marty VB Ingram.
People called him Veebs for short.
Yeah.
He had this 1894 work called An Authenticated History of the Famous Bell Witch.
Yep.
The Wonder of the 19th Century. Yeah. And unexplained. Wait, this goes. I love this. Okay, I'm sorry. It's like let me do this
it's
proper.
Like the fucking state of Rhode Island.
It is. History of the Bell Witch, the wonder of the 19th century, an unexplained phenomenon of the Christian era. The mysterious talking goblin that terrorized the west end of Robertson County, Tennessee, tormenting John Bell to his death. The story of Betsy Bell, her lover, and the haunting Sphinx. Weighing in at 190 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal.
From parts unknown, Tennessee.
From a cave in Adams County. It's not Adams County, it's Adams Township. My bad. I got fired. So anyways, he talks about the grandson of John Bell, J.A. And apparently he met with him to talk about the story. Because John Bell had requested nothing be released until the death of his last child, who was Joel. Joel, what, Ezekiel Bell, probably? Is that right. What we're up to?
Right, yeah.
Joel Deuteronomy Bell. And then J.A. produced a diary written by his father, Richard, who was one of the sons of John Bell Sr. And he detailed this experience of the family. So it's basically a third-hand account.
Right.
Maybe even a fourth hand at that.
I was told I
couldn't
do this until everyone who could authenticate this story is dead.
That's it. I don't know. Just see, John Sr., Richard, J.A., and then Veebs. That's a fourth hand production. son. Right.
Sounds like shit to me. I wouldn't listen.
Part of the network. So yeah, like you would think that that something like that is pretty serious, but that comes with a big old grain of salt that just kind of falls on people and breaks legs and stuff.
Right. This is how things like and this was also a time when like people were falsifying things and making up stories in newspapers to sell said newspapers.
Get
you know, it's we had it with all the shit in. You know, you look at stories about aliens and shit too, and no, it fucking hit Judge Proctor's windmill and fell on his petunias or whatever. Stuff like that was stuff that they would do to either drum up sales or to bring people to their areas. Now, I'm not saying that this is what happened here, but it did happen in the past in a lot of places. So it's kind of a, you know, you can't not bring that up.
It's true.
Yeah. Now, but you know, if you do believe that it's true, you can still go visit the cave. You can't visit the home because literally, and I found this interesting. They said that the home by the late 1800s had been so ransacked by people going and seeing, they had to tear it down because it was a hazard.
Yeah.
That long ago.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it was, I'm sure, made of the utmost best materials 1804 had to offer at the time, you know. But like you said, based on a supposed personal diary of one of the sons and like that. And it's just, you know, when this was released, it was 30 plus years removed from the incidents.
The funny thing about that is if you count back the years, then Richard would have been 6 years old when it was happening.
Yeah.
So
how
then
much do you remember?
Yeah. And then he apparently wrote very specific details in this, you know, speech. And it's a little weird to think, oh, I was six. This is what I wrote in my diary or something like that, you know?
Right. And, you know, it's one of those things, too. You can't overlook the whole fact of when we do talk about poltergeist, a lot of times it is a girl, the daughter or someone, making things up. And especially in stories like this where I heard gnawing and I heard a voice and you can hear it, too. Just go in the room next to me.
Exactly.
It's an interesting one if it did really happen at all.
But
it's just got a lot of the, you know, the I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's got a lot of the things that we see in these stories that aren't true.
The old earmarks,
over and
yeah,
over and over.
The tropes, and also, I mean, the guy that wrote it, Veebs, Martin VB, he said he had this diary in his possession, but he never let anybody see it.
Well,
he could never bring it out and show it off.
Or the magic will leave me. So you got a story that may or may not exist from a diary that may not or not exist from a farmer's son who at six could read and write and remember things with utmost clarity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to swallow.
Cheese muffins.
You know, so to speak. So you're left with a story. And a good one, but it's a story, and it, for better or worse, is anyone getting hurt by it? No. Was anyone hurt by it? Well, if you believe it, kind of bad. But this is just that part of Americana that just lasts for some reason.
Oh, it's fun. I love it. I like. It sounds like one of those things that could be true, and what if it were true? But then when you start putting the puzzle pieces together, then at the end, you've basically got the Spanish Inquisition.
Well, that's what happens. Right. This kind of falls apart a lot of times when someone finally does write the book. When Martin does write the book, and then they go, well, what's your sources? And he goes, oh, well, and then you go, you know, and it kind of falls apart because you can poke holes. or you can't because, you know, he never let anyone see the diary because it was all true.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Religions have been started for less.
That is a true statement. But speaking of true statements, what are your, did this happen? Did anything like this happen in your imagination or your mind or how do you feel?
You know, there may be some kernel of truth to one of the girls acting out, and maybe there was some kind of like a brief time period where they thought they were haunted or something, and it was just Betsy, you know, being a jerk.
Right, and you can also see where there could have been a woman and a man who had a dispute over land.
Yeah,
and he goes, she's a witch, you know, as a way to discredit her and then blame her later when his daughter's acting out because it's such a religious time.
Maybe they did, like, maybe the woman had sons or grandsons that went over and kind of terrorized them at point, you know, like banging on walls and things like that. But all the stuff that is kind of rolled up in it, you see it so much in other places, it becomes these tropes and these telltale traits of these ghost stories. And so at that point, you know, well, besides the whole fact that you can't reproduce any of the source material you said you had for this, and the dates aren't really adding up with the ages of people involved.
So what is actually going to happen? The way we're going to do this is we got a surprise. We are sending David to the Bellwitch Cave, and we are going to make him get lost in there. And if he comes back, we'll know that a witch was involved. So we got that going.
And if he doesn't, we'll know he was the witch.
Well, she didn't float. Well, she was innocent. Son of a bitch.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I do want to go to the Bellwitch Cave. Yeah. Well, so we didn't even mention, like, there was an incident in the, was it 60s, maybe 60s or 70s, where there were two journalists, I think it was, who went there to, like, see what the fuss was about.
Mm-hmm.
And they got scared shitless in this cave. Like, there were some weird noises or chantings or lights or something from deeper in the cave, and they couldn't spend the night. They peaced out.
Man. Yeah, it's interesting when you hear things like that. And then, of course, you got to be like, well, did that really happen or not? But and also, the human mind plays a lot of tricks on you, or people knew that they were going to be in there and went off into another part of the cave and fucked with them.
True.
You know? Or,
it's
fucking haunted.
or there's a literal cave full of inbred hillbillies in there that like to wander out and hills have eyes, everybody.
Yeah, no
as
shit.
As a verb.
yes. All
that's terrifying, possible. But that is the scariest part of any ghost story is the hills have eyes aspect.
Man, and speaking about shit that might actually be out there, you know, like, who's the guy who acted in the original one? And he was in Weird Science. He's got that lopsided head. He was born with that thing. He has no hair. He has no fingernails. Michael Berryman, the guy who's got like that crazy looking head. And, you know, he's just a delightful guy. I love watching interviews with him, but he always plays like a mutant or something like that. If you don't know who Michael Berryman is, just look him up real quick. He's a very unique individual.
Now that is making lemonade out of
I'll tell you what, turnips. He knew that he was interesting looking, and he made a lot of money off of it.
That's what we call a Brechtian actor.
Yeah. Right. And she's still out there, guys. Like you said, that was the 60s or 70s. So, yeah, go report to us. Who's been there? Who has been to the cave or that area and has Bellwitch stories? I mean, we're in Chicagoland, so we know all these stories here. Do you live in another part of the country and you've got your own not the Bellwitch, but your version of the Bellwitch? Tell us.
Yep.
You can tell us by going to Hysteria Nation. Go to Facebook and look up Hysteria Nation. That is our group where we have all sorts of fun chats about weird shit like this and memes and nonsense and all sorts of dick and fart jokes. You know, it's a good time.
13 also, of them.
13. Also go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That is our Facebook page. You can find us on Patreon. And saying us, you can only find me on these things. David, he's not invited. Patreon.com/hysteria51. Also, voicemail 773-669-7277. And if you forget any of this, you can find it on hysteria51.com. You also should go and listen to David's thoughts on this, because he did them on Blurry Photos. And he's got his other show, Quiz Quiz Bang Bang. Where can they, I just like saying Quiz Quiz Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah.
Where can they find you? Where you at? What do you got going on out there in the inner tubes?
You guys may be familiar with Blurry Photos. That's blurryphotos.org, and you know, search for it anywhere. It'll pop up. And the website has all the archives. That's another way you can find and search for this particular episode. It's a lot of fun to do. And quizbangpod.com is where you can find Quiz Bang Bang. That also has all the episodes listed out there. It's also on all the podcatchers and all that good stuff. Yo,
QuizBangPod. That just rolls right off the tongue. That sounds like
that nice?
Order at a Chinese restaurant. Can I get Quiz Bang Pod
with a side of fried rice
chicken?
Yeah. And we almost went with quizbangbang.com, but it's like, man, that's a mouthful. So right, Quiz Bang Pod,
right.
Boom. So yeah, congrats to you guys again on 200, and maybe next time I'm on the show, maybe will be enough times for me to earn a drop, music drop of my own, or a jacket or something.
Pass.
Here's David Flora. Dope dee dee.
Yeah, be careful. This is a real monkey's paw of a wish here.
Oh man, so you got any big episodes coming up, or anything other than just your documentaries and travel and raising money for charity and all the stupid shit you do that doesn't matter?
All my general bullshittery. I've got, you know what? There's two things I want to say. So one is I have started a Twitch channel where I'm playing horror and supernatural and occult kind of video games on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/blurryphotos. Right now I'm streaming on Thursday and Saturday nights and do it for about a couple hours each time. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun and good and crappy games both alike on there. And of course me being me. And coming up episodes, I've got a campfire ghost story episode is going to be coming out soon. I've got a great interview with Dr. Lynn McNeil, who is a folklorist at Utah State University. She's on Paranormal Caught on Camera, and she knows her shit. It was an awesome interview, so I'm excited for that.
That is very cool.
And then, of course, Blurry Photober.
Real quick, when I was young, we had a folklorist that used to come to our school and tell stories and stuff when I was young. And I always remember that. I loved it. Loved it. And that's kind of something that you don't see as much anymore.
You don't. I mean, how do you make money doing that?
Right.
So yeah, lots of cool stuff coming up, and lots of projects ongoing.
Well, that's exciting, and that is awesome. And yeah, man. So you guys gotta check out his show, check out all of his stuff, and don't forget also to keep an eye out for they fully funded on Kickstarter. Him and Derek Hayes of Monsters Among Us are going to have their full title?
It's called Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle, which is,
it's no Martin Van Boom Boom Buren title, but that's a mouthful.
Yeah, unfortunately, pro wrestling intro style titling went out of fashion. They try to bring it back, but...
You know what? That's a worthwhile thing. All right, so yeah, don't forget, check all that out. And those have been our thoughts on a teenage girl making up story. No, the Blair Witch. No, the Bell Witch. We're all over the place. With that said,
just like the Bell Witch.
I've been Brent.
I've been David 13 Flora.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand shine.